Thank you, Jimmy. If they show it again, which they won't, so there they are. Welcome to our pre-show. How y'all doing? He had the ball. Then the ball came off his chest, and that left foot landed out of bounds. If the ball had stayed here, and even that left foot going out of bounds would have meant shit. But because he did not yet have full possession, because I'm trying to learn this goddamn shit. In the National Football League, they call it in the process of catching the ball. If he's in the process of catching the ball, the ball is not yet caught. Something like that. Anyway, welcome to our pre-show. I'm gonna have to tear myself away from this game. You guys, whoever is with me here live, bless your hearts. It's really weird to, you know, I could do this. I'm just, No, asshole. Yeah, like that. I could do that. I could have the fucking game just, but why would you want to see that? You want to look at me, don't you? Why would anyone want to see that when you could see instead? I was talking to Maria today on the phone. I said to her, this is a step I'm taking, doing this show digitally. I never thought I would do this, but you know, I don't know if I ever shared this to you guys. I shared this with you guys back in the 80s, the late 80s. I was back in school. I was at Pasadena City College. It's a touchdown. It's a fucking touchdown. How about that? Let me tell you what. This coach, man, Doug Peterson, is... Don't start celebrating. See, there's the ball. It's not yet caught, in my opinion. Now watch it come off his chest a little bit, right there. Oh, dude, 1 foot in. Maybe he dragged the other leg. I don't know. Looked to me like I saw that ball bouncing around in there. That's not technically what they tell you is a catch. But hey, I'm not a referee. I don't know my ass from holding ground. I wonder if Belichick is going to go ape shit on that one. Well, you Patriot fans, you can scream about that. So back in the 80s, I was in school. I was a disc jockey and I was at KLSX and all this shit. And I thought, I don't know, man. You know, this is not for me, radio. Because my instincts were to do things that were completely different from what was happening in radio. And program directors back then, especially music program directors, were so fucking onerous and they were so controlling and they were such fucking... it's all about the music, you know. I went back to school. I was taking photography. I got back into theater, just studying classroom theater. I wasn't really on stage or anything, but went back and I was taking English. I think I was taking drama. And maybe I was just taking drama, English drama. I don't know what the fuck it was, but I know it was had to do with the theatrical end of things. And then I also took one other class. I forget what it was. Because that's what I thought. I got to find some other thing, some other creative outlet. And I got to thinking about it. It took me about 6 months. And I said, why are you quitting, man? You know, I mean, you're good at this. Why are you quitting? You don't let the very business that you were born to be in, you're going to let them drive you out of it? No, you can't do that. So I recommitted myself to my radio career and pushed on. And succeeded about as the way I thought I would. I knew that I would be a success. There was no doubt in my mind. That's a very unique feeling. But I knew it. I knew that I was going to be. And somebody said to me once when the show went national, wow, did you ever expect this? I said, I expected it sooner. I said, it took me the time I began doing the sort of the new version of the Phil Hendry show in 1990 till when we got syndicated, which was fall of 99, it was almost 10 years. I said, I thought it would happen within two or three. But anyway, I said to Maria today, I said, so I've taken that step, you know? And she said, when you were successful, I said, yeah, I was. So what is next? I think I know what's next. And I'm going to go into female impersonation. Kind of shit, and no, some people may be taking me seriously, so I just want you to know I'm not going to do that. But there is another step to be taken here. And this show is a part of my life, and the digital aspect of my show is a part of my life, but this is not the only thing that I need to be doing. There's something slightly larger, more fully packed, you know. And I know what it is. I'm not going to share it with you because I don't want to articulate it just now, but I got to tell you, man, and I'm, you know, I like this coach, Doug Peterson, Philly coach. I just like this guy. He strikes me as a Belichick type. He strikes me as cerebral. He strikes me as, here's Matt Patricia, who's the offensive coordinator for the, who's that? Is that Nick Foles? Is that Nick Foles' wife? No, that little girl's got on a Patriot jersey. It was Julia Roberts. I'm kidding. Pickett. Oh, dude, that was a pick. 24. That ball was yours. That ball was yours, Jack. There she is. Looks like Julia Roberts. Or no. Okay, so we got a hold on the defense. Trying to hold Gronk. Well, that's the only way you're going to be able to stop him, but so you got a penalty. So, you know, the referee's going to call that all fucking day, Jack. You better think of something else. What is it, man? Third down. What is it? First and 10. That was a stop had they not gotten a penalty on Gronkowski, but that guy is unstoppable. He seems to be unstoppable, unless you can find a linebacker big enough and fast enough. You can't put a fucking midgety little goddamn cornerback on that guy, you nuts. You gotta find a guy as big as him. All right, I'm gonna get back to business at hand here in a second. And there we go. See, this is gonna be, they're gonna pick him apart all day. I guess he got pushed off on or whatever. Hogan's Heroes. Yeah, I don't know where New England came up with all these spry, fast little white guys at wide receiver, but Christ, they just keep coming at you. They got Julius Edelman, they got Amendola, now they got this Hogan kid. They had Wes Welker. Anybody remember Wes Welker? All right. Well, this is the, such is the plight. I thought about, you know, postponing the game. I thought about postponing the broadcast, the live broadcast to tomorrow night as we did the, you know, playoffs a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, I mean. And I said, no, the game ought to be over. You're right. It's a Super Bowl, Phil. They got a half-hour halftime show. This motherfucker ain't going to be over till well after 7. Third down and short. These will, in the middle of the field, these will kill you every day. We could do General Shaw and,
I'm Steve Bozell, and alongside me here is, you know,
what was it, Steve, and who was, Bud Dickman?
Yeah, you know what, Dickman, you were a moron.
Oh, Jesus, they're just getting, that's Brady. That's Brady, man. That's Amendola. That's pushing him. Edelman went down, was it in preseason? Yeah, it was like preseason. He got injured somehow. I forget what it was, but he's not been in. This time last year, Edelman was having the game of his fucking life. He made that insane catch. 18 of 31. That's a good day. You got to start dropping some in the end zone, though. Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you, nobody looks a fucking defense off like Brady. Jesus H. Christ. When they got Gronk involved in this football game, things changed. Okay. So what do you want to do? Gentlemen, what are your intentions? That's what Jim Lovell said to the other two guys on Apollo 13 when they were arguing and screaming at each other and saying, you fucked us. No, you did it. And we're out here in the middle of outer space and we're fucked. We're going to die. You know, and it happened. I know it said it happened in the movie, but it actually happened in real life because I read the book called Lost Moon where Jim Lovell recounts that these guys were bouncing off the goddamn walls, screaming at each other. And that's when he said, what are your intentions? And I don't know if they stopped like in the movie and went, It is wild. There's no question about it. It's just fucking wild. Look at this. Coach Dozier made the point about the Patriots choking it out. They could have gone 19-0 back in 2000. What the fuck was that? What year was that? 7? And they lost the Super Bowl, you know, to the Giants. 19. Jesus, it's pretty funny that The Dolphins went 17-0. That was the full season, you know, including the playoffs back in 1973. And only since 73, 30-plus years later, only two games effectively have been added to the NFL schedule. That's, well, I don't know why I thought there would be more. You know, it seems like there's a lot more, doesn't it? I mean, you get the wild card and the thing. Of course, you can miss the wild card round. If that was a wild card team, that would have been 20-0. Seems like the season's just, the season's gone to, back then it was a 14-game season. The league went to 16 games in 78. I don't have any doubt in my mind that someday, I don't know when, I thought it would happen sooner, they'll go to an 18-game schedule. They may cut down on the fucking preseason games. I don't know. They play 18 games in Canada. But I think that's only because they want to squeeze every dime they can out of the football fans up there. I'm just, you know, I don't want anybody listening to that and saying, what? By the way, I was on Google Maps today, and I saw my grandfather's house in Toronto. I don't know if Casey Kemp is listening. Is that Gaga? Gaga and Blake Shelton are at the game together. Floyd Mayweather. Yo! Jimmy Fallon with his expensive seat. Bradley Cooper, the great actor, and his girlfriend handing him a bag of pretzels, peanut butter filled pretzels. All right. And I look at Minneapolis, you know, and that's my old stomping grounds. I was at WCCO for a year. Now that's a good amount of time. If you're like building, you know, if you're moving up the ladder in radio, you don't want to stay anywhere much longer than a year. Miami, I was there for 2.5 years because I felt, well, Miami, this is good. I think I can stop here and syndicate my show from Miami. That was my goal. Syndication. It wasn't necessarily to get back to L.A. It was to get national with the show. And I knew that in Miami I could do it because there was enough media in that city to help that process take place. So you don't want to be anywhere longer than a year. And I was in Minneapolis a year. I got there in March of 93, and I left, you know, in April, March, April of 94, and went to Miami from there. I went from Minneapolis, deep freeze, to Miami on the fucking beach. And I told you guys, I was on that beach, literally, I'm not kidding you. When I got to Miami, I said, oh, just table everything, man. And I spent 2 days on that fucking beach just baking all that cold weather out of me. And I remember when I left Minnesota, I was going into a Rainbow Foods. It was their supermarket up there. And there's an old man with those galoshes, those big boot galoshes, stomping them and smiling at me and saying, boy, frosty one, isn't it? You know, I said, this cat loves it here, you know. I said, yeah, it was pretty cold winter up there that year, 93, 94. Anyway, but I had a lot of fun up there and made a lot of friends and had a good audience, you know. Good audience, good listeners, you know. The station I worked for, I could have, you know, been happier if I'd been somewhere else, but you know, it was, like I said, it was a year. And used to travel the warehouse district a lot, you know, going into nightclubs there. Metrodome was still there. Saw a couple of Gopher games there. I never went to any Viking games, but followed the Vikes. That year the Vikings got to the playoffs, I think. That was one game and out. Got into the whole history of the area. I mean, the place is not very transient, which means the person you meet, it's very likely they've been there their whole life. It's a big city, you know, as cities go. Oh, what a catch! I'm going to show you this. They'll show it again. Is he out of bounds? Oh, motherfucker. No, they're moving up. They're walking up the field. Watch this. The guy had to slow up for it. Boom. 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 Yeah. This guy Foles is really impressing the shit out of me. This kid was a backup until week 14. He had two regular season games under his belt, and that's it. But in the time I was in Minneapolis, where Prince's nightclubs were closing, so, you know, he'd done that glam slam, those nightclubs. The warehouse district was in full regalia. It was really, that was the nightclub area of Minneapolis. St. Paul was beginning to heat up. They got Lower Town going and all that good shit. But it wasn't nothing like it is today. And that was 20-plus years, almost, goddamn, 20-plus years ago. They lost the North Stars. They went to Dallas, became the Dallas Stars. So the city was in transition, seemed to me. When I left Minnesota and went to Miami and eventually got to California, and I would pick up the paper and read about them building an outdoor baseball stadium, I was thinking, that's what everybody was hoping for back then. When it was way back in the day in the early 90s, people were saying, let's get a fucking outdoor stadium again. And people were saying, let's go to a baseball game. The Twins were inside that god-awful Metrodome, and people were so thirsty for outdoor baseball that the St. Paul Saints, which was a minor league team, was doing a pretty good business just advertising themselves on the basis of, hey, we're outdoors. Come on out to the ball game. You know, it rained a lot, and, you know, they had rainouts. They had all this shit that you got to deal with in baseball, but it was worth it for those folks just to go to a game that, you know, Jesus Christ, these goddamn Eagles. But I tell you, like I said, this guy Doug Peterson is the man, as far as I'm concerned. There goes my hero. Oh, the 72 Dolphins went undefeated. War of the Planet of the Apes, right? Is that the movie? Mm-hmm. Patrick Chung, 48, one pass. Patriots have been winning Super Bowl so long, this whole generation of Patriots, you don't even know about or haven't thought about. Remember Ty Law? Remember Lawyer Malloy? Remember, you know, Willie McGinnis? Remember who else, man? You know? Remember Corey Dillon? The only guy that's been consistent to the whole goddamn thing is Tom Brady. This guy Foles is impressing the shit out of me. This kid, it's amazing. Talk about being ready. But that's what great teams, I mean, you know, all the great teams, you can plug them in. You can pull one guy out, stick another guy in there. It doesn't make any fucking difference. When the 49ers, I keep going, you know, old-timers like me, we talk about the 49ers. You could have taken Montana out, put Steve Young in, take out Roger Craig, put in Ricky Waters. Doesn't fucking matter. Take out, you know, what's his ass? Jerry Rice, put in John Taylor. Take out John Taylor, put in... Everybody in that system could kick your ass. And same thing with the Pats, you know. As great as Tom Brady is, they could stick another quarterback in there, and I'm not saying he'd be anywhere as good as Brady, but he'd move that goddamn football. Beat the Devil. Boy, that movie was lousy. Jesus, was that a lousy movie. Oh, my God. I got to find that song, because that's what we need, yeah. Dave Flavin's with us. Dave?
Yes, hello. Right, I said to him, don't you ever speak that way of that man.
Yeah, well, you know what, Dave? You're a mental case.
I thought you were speaking of this man in a crude way, and I'm terribly sorry that I was mistaken, but I still don't believe it.
Well, I don't care if you don't believe it, because you can read it in the Wikipedia. That's where I learned it.
So you read about this in Bob Lynn's Wikipedia entry.
Yes.
Bob Lynn is one of the great songwriters of all time.
I don't know what Bob...
What I'm talking about here, the guy that did the Elusive Butterfly of Love, you'd have to be... But here it is. You've probably heard it. I don't care what age you are. Okay, and I really have to get the full effect. I got to get the picture up, too. Well... You should have got, oh, that's 32. Should have got six out of that. They had to kick a field goal. It's 32-26. Patriots have come right back down the gut, and there's a flag on the play. And I might be against the Eagles or the Eagles. I mean, I'm telling you, this is the funniest fucking thing, in my opinion, I've ever seen. Come on, motherfucker. You might have seen me running. No, fuck. God damn it. It's this thing here. You guys have seen this goddamn picture a million times. Okay. Wait, where is it? It's this, that picture, bat child found in cave. Boy captured by explorers. What is it? Miles underground. Now, that's a phony baloney picture. But, you know, there's enough idiots in this world. you probably know by now, that will believe shit like that. The guy that came up with that whole concept was Bob Lind, a guy who was known in another life years before as a singer, a kind of a folky singer. Trying to find that motherfucking song. What are you doing, Henry? Hold on. I'm very sorry, folks. It's here. I just got to get my shit together and find the goddamn thing. Where is it, man? Don't piss me off, Jack. Jesus Christ. What in the f... this bad boy. So, there. I was trying to get this thing. I'm getting the song. You know, I apologize. Got my thumb up my ass here today. This song here. You know this song, right? The guy that wrote, is writing and singing that song.
You might wake up some morning.
Came up with this idea.
The sound of something moving past your window in the wind.
Now, I just got to find out one thing, because I sure as fuck don't want to be the guy that comes on and says, ha, 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 look at this picture, and that turns out to be a real picture of a kid. I hope and fucking pray. Let me see here. Batboy is a creature made several appearances in the American Supermarket tabloid. It's a character. It's not a real person. Fictional background, genealogy. The discovery of Batboy's family tree on a genealogy chart recently stunned evolutionary scientists. Used to think the famed imp was a pitiful, one-of-a-kind mutant, but now they believe that he's, you know, this and that and something else. On August 14th, WWN reported he was running in the California gubernatorial election. I didn't even know any of this shit. World Weekly News. And I told Batboy supposedly endorsed John McCain, but switched to Barack Obama soon after. Alleged background. There's even a musical, a Batboy musical. So there he is, and
there that glided past you, followed close by heavy breathing.
Right.
Don't be concerned. It will not harm you. It's only me pursuing.
It's only Batboy.
Not sure of. Across my dream.
Now, in all seriousness, well, I'm being serious here, but Bob Lind is a very respected songwriter, and a lot of people have done his song. He's done hundreds of songs, but he had a period in his life where he had to make a living. He had to make a fucking living. Yeah, I think he left the music business for a while. That song was a smash hit, internationally smash hit, but he didn't follow it up for whatever reason, and, you know, left music for a while and had to get a, you know, began writing for the National Enquirer. Now, I'm basing everything I'm telling you on the Wikipedia entry that I read on Bob Lind. You can double check it if you want. All right, it's time for us to get our shit together. No more time for dicking around. Yeah, man. That is hysterical, though, to me. I mean, it's just the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen. All right, so I believe that I've got this. I believe I've got this, man. I know I've got it.
My heart's on fire.
Right. Talk about going from the ridiculous to the ridiculous. All right.
Hi, this is Ben Domenech, the host of the Federalist Radio Hour. We're a daily show coming to you 5 days a week from Washington, D.C., where we interview our nation's top journalists, politicians, authors, chefs, economists, entertainers, and more.
All right, got
if
that.
You're looking for a contrarian discussion on news, politics, or culture.
Got that. I'm covered. Patriots are not giving up, man. They are staying in it. Eagles, you've got a fight on your hands. That's perfect. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Let's get this shit going, man.
Hi, this is Ben Domenech, the host of the Federalist Radio Hour. We're a daily show coming to you 5 days a week from Washington, D.C., where we interview our nation's top journalists, politicians, authors, chefs, economists, entertainers, and more. If you're looking for a contrarian discussion on news, politics...
Wait a minute. Which reminds me of that great scene in Kelly's Heroes, which I've brought up many times because I just always like to beat the shit out of it. Look at this screen pass. First down. First down on the 7-yard line. Amendola got behind the screen. All right. Donald Sutherland is the tank commander, and he looks through his binoculars at a bridge that they need. It's still up! And then you see it collapse. No, it ain't! All right. It was funny to me. All right. Let's get this shit going here, man. Don't be concerned. It's only Bat Boy. And he's not concerned if you aren't. It's all good. Cross my dreams with nets of wonder. I'm chasing Bat Boy through the caverns of your mind. I got a really funny idea for Bat Boy on the show here. All right. Touchdown. Nope, no touch. No catch. Was it a run or was it a pass? Look at this. Fourth quarter, 9 minutes left in this motherfucker. Here come the goddamn Patriots. it hit the ground. It was a pass that hit the ground. You need a turnover, man. I heard the guy say it at the beginning of the broadcast. He said they need points on turnovers. I think it was Michael Irvin who said it. I was watching the NFL channel. I don't know if they need points on turnovers. They goddamn sure need turnovers there. Look at this. Boy, they're lined up like it's a soccer game, man. They are in a short zone. One guy in the end zone. Gronk makes the catch. Touchdown. That will put them ahead with the extra point. How do you like that? It was a 22-12 lead at the fucking half, and it is now 32-32, and one kick, and you got it. Jesus Christ, what a team. And that guy, that Gronkowski, has been the whole fucking difference in the second half. You got to find a way to double-team that, not double-team that motherfucker, but somehow get someone physically on him that's big enough and strong enough. I don't know who that is. Goddamn fucking corner can't cover him. Forget it. Here comes the extra point. All right. Just need to do one thing. Got to get Jeff Doubter. And then we need Dean Wheeler. And Dean is where? Is this Dean here? No, fuck that. Extra points. Good. 33-32, New England. Wow. That babe that they were showing in the press in that luxury box is a Patriot fan, so I don't know who. Maybe it's Brady's girlfriend, isn't she? What's her name? Inga? Is she a model? Inga. Hello, I'm Inga. All right, man. Here we go. It's gonna be good. If it ain't my fault.